The Scott Williams Show continues
on Dublin's Q102.
Have your say. Call 850-6597 or text 57102 for 20 cents.
That's us, 850-6597 on the phone. You can text at 57102 for just 20 cents. We call you straight back. Follow us on Twitter at Q102SW Show and join the conversation on Facebook, facebook.com. Look for Dublin's Q102. Now, Dermot Jewell, the aforementioned CEO of the CAI is here. Good evening, sir.
Good evening, sir.
Very good to have Dermot back. Always on a Monday here doing consumer-y things and solving problems and all the rest of it. Rory Quinn has called on publishers, Dermot, to slash the price of school books. And he said on Q102 News today that the cover price of most popular textbooks needed to be reduced. There is the blindingly obvious. The call follows meetings between the minister and publishers and parents, representatives and poverty campaigners and all the rest. And he has, he's got certain suggestions out there for price cuts. But the most interesting one of all was, if a bookshop can buy 100 copies of the Sale of Goods and Supply of Services Act of 1980 in hardback format, you get discount.
Way to go.
So shouldn't schools get discount if they're buying 100 or 200 or 80 or 50? But they're not. They're not getting
it. Very poor.
Not getting it. So just in terms of that, I mean, you know, you're the great man for have a haggle, do a bit of bartering.
Yeah, absolutely.
But when you go for the school books.
Yeah, it's rigid. No choice. Yeah. You pay for it, that's it. Do you want the book or don't you? Kind of
is that anti-competitive?
Well, I think so too, and it also gives the distinct impression that there is a very clear-cut arrangement that this is the way it is, this is the way it's going to stay.
A clear-cut arrangement. Could that be called a cartel?
Yes. It very, very, very well could. The difficulty is, I mean, there's no competition there.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter where you go. You're going to pay the same amount for this book.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Now, I know that the points of distribution are very, very limited.
Yeah.
But the reality is, for years, this has been a license to print, and it continues to be.
But Dermot, I mean, even intuitively, we think it would be possible for the school to say, I've got 42 children that need this particular geography book. We're going to order in bulk.
This is it.
And then the of course, maybe the schools don't want to be beholden to the parents' pay.
Well, I think that's the problem, because I do know, certainly going back over some of the years of my own family and children, there were systems like that where schools were proactive and they did purchase on their behalf, and there was a bit of discount there. But you're right, that's the next problem. It's always the case of, well, hang on a minute, we can do that, but who's going to take control of this? Selling the books, collecting the money, supposing there's a problem, where's the story on the book
scheme?
Well,
I suppose you could always write to the parents and say, there'll be 42 geography books needed, it's going to be €16.50, have your €16.50 in by Tuesday, because we're buying on Friday, and if you don't...
We can't buy.
Yeah,
and everybody goes down.
So maybe there is need for a scheme for this.
Yeah.
The Scott Williams Show. Follow us on Twitter. Q102SW Show. Or call 01-850-6597.
Okay, well, we'd have to agree with the sentiments expressed by people there. Huge sums of dough. Anyway, Dermot's here to do consumer problems. The advice is free and it's expert. Dermot Jewell, the Chief Executive of the Consumers Association of Ireland. And first up this evening, it's you, Maura.
Hello?
Maura.
Hi, Maura.
Hello?
Maura, yeah.
I just want to ask a few questions, right, regarding UPC.
Oh, Dermot knows UPC inside out.
Right, okay.
So this is, you were charged extra money on your UPC bill because you don't have your telly with them, is that right?
That's correct, exactly. Yeah. I'm charged €7.74 extra because I don't have my TV
With them,
exactly.
Yeah, but you have your broadband on your phone with them.
That's correct, yeah.
Now, you checked the speed of your broadband and you found it to be 17 to 18 megabits when it's supposed to be 25.
That's correct, yeah.
And you discussed that with your provider. It didn't seem to get. How did you measure the speed? Did you get someone to do that for you?
Well, actually, there's actually a speed test on the internet, right?
Yes.
That you can go into and test the speed. I actually tested the speed now today and it's only 16.72.
Right.
And it's supposed to be 25 megs.
Do you know, Maura, I'm just sitting here listening to your 16.72. I get 1.87 at home. Anyway, now, Dermot, on this one, clearly there was, first of all, the issue, the 774 extra on the bill because you just never telly with them. And secondly, your promised speeds. Was this promise of speeds up to 25, Maura, or speeds of 25?
Well, it said speed of 25 megabits on 22nd of August, right?
Yeah.
that it had increased from 20 to 25.
Right.
But mine never actually even reached 20, let alone 25.
Right, and this is coming down the UPC cable, Dermot, so we're not into Aircom lines or copper. Anyway, what should Maura do here?
Well, I mean, Maura, just coming back to the point that Scott made there, if you go back, it's very likely, I'm not saying it is the case, but it's very likely that they have sold you speeds of up to 25, or up to 20, that they've now increased as up to 25.
So you mean, Dermot, like, it's highly possible?
Blue Moon, green grass, and, you know, a variety of other
speeds
things
of up to 25, Maura, you see, that's the way, a lot of operators
are
And again, just coming back to the 774, was that a point sold to you at the time of signing up, Maura?
Well, no, because when I signed up just for broadband and the telephone, I was never told about the 774 extra would be charged because I wasn't getting my television with them.
Right. So
when I quizzed them then, they said, that's because it's a standing alone charge because you don't have your telly with them,
But isn't that fantastic that if you don't take the telly, you get charged money?
You get penalised.
And if you do take the telly, you don't.
That's correct, yeah.
Fantastic.
Isn't it wonderful? Yes. Talk about a law unto yourself. I've got to be honest, at this point, can I just back up a little bit? I'm assuming you've said all this to UPC and they told you, Maura, go away and leave us alone.
I actually have, yes. I actually probably called us, rang them up as well regarding my speed test and the whole lot. And I spent an hour here one day with one of the guys, over the phone. And he just said, it'll probably come right eventually, blah, blah, blah. Just always,
I know. There's a sunny day coming somewhere. Yeah, I understand that. Look, I tell you, there's not a huge amount that right now, if you don't ever even reach the 20, then there is a point which makes it somewhat reasonably valid for you, I think, to contact Comreg, who are the regulator, and make the point to them that look, because this comes pretty close to misleading information.
It is hard though without signing the agreement.
Difficult.
Yeah, have you got your original agreement, Maura?
I have it somewhere, right?
Be very important.
Just check, Maura, because you could be fighting a losing battle if it was sold to you as coming close to. Mm. The other element in relation to the 774, that is very, very different. You do really need to go back and check your contract documentation to see, because I can't help but believe, in all honesty, and you'll be disappointed to note it, that it must say somewhere in there that this 774 charge is going to apply. It probably might not have been really big time brought to your attention, but you can almost put money on it that it's in there.
Well, it says here, at the very end of the bundles and that, it said a standalone charge of $7.75 to all broadband packs not purchased with or added to our TV or phone service.
Yeah, I understand.
I don't know why I'm being penalised paying $7.75, for a telly. I don't have my telly with them, so why am I being penalised to paying that money when I'm paying already the bundle that I already have with the broadband and the phone?
Oh, I appreciate that very much so. And this is where, it's the way it's sold is, if you're not taking the whole package, then unfortunately you don't get the discount or you don't get the benefits of whatever element we're getting.
Yeah.
So in all honesty, you're left with the decision, Maura, whether or not to stay with the package or to look around and see who else is offering something that's good value. Maybe whoever it is you do have your TV with, see if they would make an offer that it would, I suppose. You can say to them, look, I've got two packages. Do you want to make me an offer?
The only thing about Sky, I have actually my TV with Sky, right?
Yeah.
Fortunately, now they don't do the broadband. Mm. Or the phone with Sky.
Yeah, because it's a
different system. I'd definitely stay with Sky.
Yeah. Well, look, all you can do is right now. Then you're caught up with the two programs there and the two providers.
Yeah.
I suppose again, as I say, check the documentation. If there's no mention of that if there's no mention of, it's probably the way it's worded. Just check what you bought, and if it's the case that you've really got what you bought, then relax about it for the time being, but keep an eye out to what other offers are there. And particularly, I mean, we're getting into the months now, there, unless I'm very much mistaken, I can't help but feel that all of the providers are going to start fairly heavily marketing between now and coming up to, you know, October, November for December. So see what comes up then and see if you can get a better deal out of a package.
Right, okay.
Okay, Maura.
Okay, listen, thanks a million.
You're welcome. Okay. Bye-bye. There's Maura in Finglas. Dermot Jewell, the Chief Executive of the Consumers Association of Ireland, here in studio with me, dealing with consumer issues in their manifold ways. 850-6597 or 57102, which is 20 cents of the text, and we call you straight back. And Peter's in Raheny. Hello, Peter.
Hi, Scott. How you doing?
How you doing? Now, Peter was on with us a fortnight ago, Dermot, in relation to his Skoda Superb. The problem was with the clutch and the flywheel. You might remember it.
Yes.
Now, Skoda were saying that because there was a problem with the clutch that caused the flywheel to fail, therefore the flywheel can't be under warranty. Dermot Jewell said he thought the flywheel should be. Skoda are still disagreeing. And what's the latest, Pete?
Ooh.
Well, basically, there's, I was on to them today. There's no way. They were on to the garage concerned, and according to them, the damage done to the flywheel, to the clutch, was related to the flywheel, but the bottom line is there's no compensation here at all. They don't want to know.
And can I ask you this? Maybe I'm wrong. Forgive me, Peter, if I'm crossing over with another case. Did you not have a report carried out?
No.
No.
No. The car was under warranty up until August 20th. And as you said there, you know, you thought they would go back to them with a bit about the flywheel.
Yeah. And they just will not go with the route at all.
No. So I just give you the update. And is there anything further I can do? Hardly.
Well, there is one thing, and that is that you could refer the matter through the SIMI tribunal, because I'm pretty sure the garage you bought it from would be a member, and you could see if through their intervention they might be able to impress upon anybody to help you out a little bit more. And if you go to, I think it's simi.ie, you can access the complaint form there and see what they can do to help you.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Thanks for your help, lads. It's been very good. Thanks, buddy.
All best of us, Peter. Peter there in Raheny. And that's that's as best as we can do for now. 850-6597 is our number. We've got consumer queries all the way. Becky was on the email. She says, I got a call yesterday from O2 offering me a 20% discount on my tariff and a free upgrade to iPhone 4 if I agree to stay with them for another 12 months. Looks attractive on the face of it. I accepted the offer, but I've discovered today that they've locked me into a 24-month contract. I can cancel this, but won't get the upgrade as offered. I'm livid. I'm wondering if this sort of thing has happened to anybody else who's listening to the show, where they've been offered one thing and received something else, been put into a contract they haven't agreed to. Similar thing also happened to me with another operator for my broadband. They agreed they were wrong, but still haven't refunded me. Is this common practice for phone companies? I'd love to know. Please ask Dermot. Thank you, says Becky.
Well, it's becoming a problem whether it's common practice or not, because most of the companies are trying to, particularly when iPhones are involved, they're trying to lock customers into 2-year contracts. It used to be 18 months.
But they're subsidising them, aren't they?
They are, yeah. Because it's a very expensive phone. Yeah. And that's why they do their best to try to get some money back and hold you as a customer. The 20% discount, you can't have a felt, might have gone a long way towards making it worthwhile. Don't get me wrong, I never think 2-year contract is a great thing.
Would you sign one?
No.
No.
I would definitely try not to, and I think I might have mentioned to you, Scott, off air once before that there's work going on at the EU level where the new consumer directive will make it a requirement that contracts be of no more than 12 months.
Right.
For all sorts of reasons. None of them intended to be nasty. But it allows consumer more choice and a better, you know, it tries to drive some better competition into the market.
So this directive will stipulate that no contract should be more than 12 months. So a maximum of 12.
This is it. Yeah. And it can be negotiated. But that's why I can understand Becky's frustration. You wouldn't mind if somebody said, look, this is a 2-year contract. And you could say, well, okay, I'll sign a 2-year contract if I can get 22% or 25%, you know, because then I'm really committing to you. But that said, the 25% is an interesting carrot. So it's maybe worth thinking about if nobody else is offering this, or if you're not aware of anybody else maybe coming down the line. See, there's going to be an awful lot of movement on iPhones. The new iPhone is going to come out very short,
Probably October. The same.
This is it, and between the 4 and the wind down of the previous model, a lot is going to shift in the market. They're going to become, well, some of the packages are going to become
significantly cheaper. So you'd say watch that space.
It's a space to watch, without a doubt.
Space to watch. Okay, thanks. That's the AR, Becky. That's the best we can do for you. Just Dave is in touch here by text, 57102 for just 20 cent, vis-a-vis Peter's point there about his clutch and his flywheel. And he says, clutch and flywheel is a common fault in Ford, Skoda, Peugeot, many more. Common that both get replaced together. That gent needs an engineer's report and shouldn't let that drop. Obviously, Dave's somebody in the trade. So, mm-hmm. Peter, have you heard that engineer's report? I don't know whether that's a realistic option for you or what. 8506597 is our number. Hello, Jeanette.
Hello.
Here we are. Jeanette in Clondalkin. Now, Jeanette bought a suite of furniture last November, Dermot, but it's already been replaced in February as there were nails sticking through the base. Now, last week, the same carry-on started again. She rang the shop, told them what was happening. They told her they would have to pay €45 to get the sofa engineer to do a house call for her. And if it was a manufacturing fault, they would replace the sofa engineer's consultancy fee of €45. Obviously, if it was not a manufacturing fault, they wouldn't. She hasn't done it yet until she talked to Dermot. So that's pretty much it, Jeanette, isn't it?
Yeah. Thank you, a million.
Well, let's ask him straight. Dermot, would you pay for the sofa engineer?
No, I would not.
Wouldn't you?
I most certainly would not, because this is already a replacement for a sofa that wasn't of good quality.
Is this sale of goods?
Very much so. Everything to do with the Sale of Goods Supply Services Act. You only purchased it last November, Jeanette. The one you purchased, clearly, as you know yourself, it's already been replaced.
It got replaced in February.
Yeah,
so and I rang them back up, and they weren't helpful at all. They won't do anything for me unless I pay.
I understand. Well, look, what you're better off to do, and to save yourself an awful lot of more grief, is to make it clear to them, and just to tell them this. And I apologise again if it's a bit long winded, but that you have rights, consumer rights, Sale of Goods Act.
Yeah.
You were speaking to myself and to Scott.
Yep.
And that you've already had this replaced. The second one is just as bad as the first one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And therefore, you want your full refund. You want your money refunded. You don't want another
replacement. Yeah.
You want your money back.
And also,
as is your entitlement.
And also point out to him, Jeanette, we have yet to name their shop on the radio.
Yeah.
But we will be quite prepared to do it next week. But I'd love to do it within the construct of their having looked after you well.
Yeah.
They give you your money back and you ring me back up and say, I've got my money back. We'd love to go on the air and congratulate them for their good service. But if they're not prepared to do that, we're also quite prepared to name them, because this is a disgrace.
It is.
Because I was even saying it to the chap on the phone, I'm not paying it. And he said, well, I went to my manager and he said, well, there'll be no one out unless you pay the 45.
Well, don't be worrying about that. I can understand. I've heard this before. You need to know, as I say, that you're the one who has the rights. You're the one who's been sold very, very poor quality furniture here, and you're entitled to your money back. And if you don't get it back, we'll follow up on that. So just come back to us and tell us how you got on, and then we'll go to the next stage.
Jeanette, just actually stay there for a minute for me, will you?
Yeah, no problem.
8506597 is the number. Hello, Janice.
Hello.
Janice is in Ballyfermot, and you've got a problem with a suite of furniture, and they're asking you to pay €45 for a sofa engineer as well, aren't they?
Which I already paid and got it refunded because they were at fault.
Right, and what does a sofa engineer look like? I mean, we haven't come across one of these.
Well, he actually came from Northern Ireland, a chap.
Right.
And he came in and he said he was going to fit two screws in the arm that actually fell off.
Right.
And I said, no, not at all. I said I wouldn't be happy with that. That I'd no trust in their projects, and he said, that's quite all right. I said, while you're here, I said, you might as well look at the pre-seas and the juices. I said, they're falling apart as well. And he took photographs of them, and he got back to the company, and the company said, well, all they can do is fix them. That's their policy.
Right.
And I said, well, what about my rights? And they said, well, that's their policy. The third time, if it didn't work, that they'd refund me money.
Right. And did you get...
I had 3 times to go before.
And Janice, did you get your money?
Sorry?
Did you get your money?
I did not, no. I actually put in the small thing for me on the show.
Yeah.
and they don't trade under Costco sofas. They trade under Revolution Galleries Limited.
Right.
And I had rang them that morning and asked them, did it fail under there? And they said, yes, Costco sofas. So the thing was returned to the email, and I had to put it back in again.
Right, so anyway,
I'm just waiting on news.
It's with the small claims court. Okay, well, look with that, Janice. Janice's story then, Jeanette, is just to give you a bit of a spur on there.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, well, I'll get back on to them tomorrow and see how I get on.
You tell them now. You tell them straight, Jeanette, and take no messing, but don't be rude.
Yeah, no problem.
Good for you.
All right.
Okay, thanks a million. Thanks so much.
You're very welcome. Bye-bye. All about sofa engineers.
Yeah, we had a text from a sofa engineer one night, didn't we? I think so, Scott. Try to remember.
Mm.
A couple of weeks ago. Yeah.
Now, Ray says, the same thing happened to a friend of mine. They spent $2,500 in same shop. They will not give them the money because they know it's not covered by the small claims court. Someone else says, I have a similar problem with said shop. I'm in the middle of trying to get satisfaction.
Okay, this is a big problem.
So, the small claims court's ceiling is $2,000.
It's $2,000, unfortunately, yes.
So, after that, you're going to the district court, aren't you?
Yes, you are, yeah. and it's bigger money.
Bigger money.
I suppose the difficulty here, and probably the best way of putting it to a lot of consumers, and I hate to say this because I'm sure some representative of that company...
That organisation, yeah.
The point being here, you need to get your money somehow out of these people. And if there are an increasing number, then let's be honest about it, that's going to become increasingly difficult. So I can't help but feel that the small claims court at €2,000 maximum is probably going
good
to
value.
Be the best beat and good value.
Some of those people should talk to each other as well. Maybe, actually, if you've had similar problems that you might get in touch with us, maybe we'll have a look at them off air and see if we can put together
Fantastic.
A body of people. We might just help a judge.
Be wonderful. Exactly.
Hit the whole lot with one hammer. Somebody else actually has the same problem. Just vis-a-vis your problem about the broadband and the phone and the TV, I had precisely the same problem and it was resolved for me. Resolved for me fairly snappy.
Okay, so in other words, the offer was different.
No, it can be done.
Very good.
Computer glitch or something like that, but they did sort it out.
Dublin's QRT,
the Scott Williams Show,
the way it is in Dublin.
Dermot Jones, the CEO at the CAI, is here, and we're doing consumer queries. And this is Janet in Donegal. Hello, Jan.
Hi. How are you?
We're okay. Now, Janet changed from the ESB a few years ago, Dermot, to electricity, right?
Yeah.
Her very last ESB bill was clear, and when she went to electricity a month later, she got a bill for €700 as they had bought her bad ESB debt, which, as far as she was concerned, was only about 30 or 40 euros or thereabouts. They then sent her a bill for €11 for the month supply that she'd had. Then they sent her another bill saying she owed them €300. And at this stage, Janet, I am completely and utterly confused. Who,
as am I,
who sent which bill to whom? Are these bills from the ESB or bills from electricity?
Well, basically, I changed from ESB to electricity. And as far as I was concerned, I was clear with the ESB. Now, seemingly, electricity sent me the bill for €700 stating that it was arrears that was on estimated bills
and this
to the ESB.
Arrears due to the ESB?
Due to the ESB.
Right.
Now, I spoke to the ESB and they said that was their loss, that they shouldn't have sent me the bill with zero on it. And they claimed, electricity claimed then that I owed them the €700.
So, had the ESB sent you a zero bill when in fact it was €700 really owing?
They had, indeed.
Right, so they made that error.
Yes.
And then electricity take you over, and obviously they move across the account, Dermot, and they see there's a debit of €700
Absolutely.
On it. But the error was made. So that's a clerical error at the ESB, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So has Janet to pay up?
Now, after that, Dermot, I got a bill off them for €11. No, they sent me a bill for €700. Then they sent me a bill stating that I was clear with them. The second bill they sent me was for €11.66,
right,
which would have been approximately the amount I stayed with them for 1 month.
Okay.
So it would have been approximately the price of the bill. And then they proceeded to send me on another bill for €900, which was the €600 seemingly that I owed them, plus the bill for €300 where they stated that I owed them for a meter that was fitted and supplied, which they didn't do either.
Okay. Well, look, there are a couple of factors in this and a couple of elements in it. First of all, in relation to the mistake, they are allowed to make a mistake,
so it was
Jeanette, which
mistake,
probably won't thrill you. But because they can show that they had estimated bills and the estimates were obviously very short and there was a shortfall of money, and you'll just need to come to some arrangement with them to clear that off.
That'll be evidenced by a meter reading anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But what's this thing about moving debt from the ESB over to another provider? Is that how it works?
Well, what happened was is there was a rule brought in just a few months ago that allowed the previous company to advise the new company that there was a debt there.
Yeah.
Now, that's it. And it allowed the company to decide, okay, do we want to take on Jeanette or don't we? So the thing is that, yes, they've done.
Our trustee took Janet on.
Yeah. But I would still have thought, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, Jeanette, I think you still owe that money to the ESB, not to Airtricity.
Not to Airtricity. Well, that is my argument, Dermot. I mean, Airtricity didn't supply me with the service. The ESB supplied me with the service.
Mm.
Now, I've spoken to the ESB, and they said because they made the mistake in the first place, that the debt, as far as they were concerned, was gone because I had gone to Airtricity. Now, I went back from Airtricity and back to the ESB, and they took me on immediately.
Mm.
So the argument with Airtricity is, why should I pay them?
So have you switched back to the ESB now?
I've switched back to the ESB with no problems whatsoever.
Right, so Janet went ESB, Airtricity, back to ESB. Now, how much do the ESB say you owe them now?
I don't owe them anything.
You don't owe them anything?
I don't owe them anything.
So there was debt forgiveness.
But Airtricity are looking for €700. Is that what you're telling us?
Yes, basically that's it.
Wow.
Yes.
But
that's impressive.
But that was money that was never owed to them. This was money that they said
money that was owed to the ESB.
Dermot, help me, please.
Okay. Well, look, then this is fairly simple. You're back with the ESB. All you need to do is tell the ESB that you need them to issue a credit to Airtricity, a full credit to Airtricity, so that it just wipes the debt off the bill because it never existed.
Right.
And that will resolve the problem. And all you will do is, if you owe €11 or whatever it is,
give them the 11 euro.
Give them the 11
and,
euro.
And away you go. This is just a paperwork exercise.
So this is just
all.
It's only an accountancy exercise, and you want ESB to give a credit to Airtricity, and you're sorted.
And that's it.
All right.
Okay.
That's great, Janet. Thank you very much.
Good
indeed.
Stuff.
All the best.
Bye, Janet.
God bless.
Bye bye. That's Janet there in Donegal. Paul is in Tala. Hello, Paul.
Hello, how are you?
Well, pretty good. Now, on the 24th of November last, Paul bought and paid for 10 driving lessons for his eldest son, Dermot.
All right.
But due to family reasons, the lessons weren't availed of. Now, recently, his youngest wanted someone to learn to drive, so he contacted the driving school to see what could be done. However, as it was over a year since he bought the lessons, he was not prepared to either refund the money or transfer the lessons to his younger son. They said they are entitled to do this under their terms and conditions. Now, Paul thinks he paid €400 for the course of lessons. It's a bit unfair. Is there anything he can do? Well, it's bad public relations, but where are we here under consumer law?
You see, we're nowhere under consumer law because there is no law in relation to it. The difficulty is, as Paul indicated, that there was a term and a condition that obviously said if you don't avail of these lessons after 12 months, then all bets are off. The general rule, in all honesty, certainly from the Consumers Association of Ireland, is that is utter and total stupidity, and it's very, very bad business, because there is no way that anything worth €400 can devalue to nil in a period of a number of months. And as you make the point, Scott, it's very, very bad customer relations.
It's very bad customer relations.
So all I can do is
well,
ask
I just
you, Paul.
I don't understand how this genius in the driving school could think he's doing himself any good at
all. Absolutely, you're right. It's just appalling.
He has €400 of your money, Paul.
Absolutely.
And is it the same instructor, same driving school, same everything?
Well, it's the same driving school. I don't know whether it would be the same driving instructor as such. But the lessons were never availed, they were never booked.
Yeah, so you...
They have the 400 and whatever interest would have accrued on it over the period of time.
So you just booked them for son number one, now you want to switch that to son number... I cannot for the life of me understand why they can't do that for...
Neither can I. Yeah. I was more than happy to do the swap. Obviously, if you got the money back, it'll be fine.
Yeah, well,
we might charge you to do it with the sun.
But we might charge you an administration fee of €20 or something.
That'd be fair enough.
Yeah. I would have thought so. Yeah, I would have thought so.
So, look, can I suggest, Paul, that you go back to them, tell them you were speaking to us, and that we're really, really quite shocked that they are taking this position, and that we'd love to hear that they have, you know, reconsidered, because, as I say, even in normal speak, the reality is you're not going to say one good word about them to anybody, you know, and that's foolish of them.
To give them a better insight as well, Paul, the way we're thinking here, and I'm sure you've come across this yourself, is... We're not talking about fresh cream or eggs or bread that goes off. We're not talking about a motor car that devalues because it's a year older. We're not talking about a mobile phone that's gone out of fashion. We're talking about driving lessons.
Driving lessons.
It's unbelievable.